Good morning. It's good to see you today. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament about some kids that were making fun of the prophet of God. They called him fat and bald, right? And when that happened, like a couple she-bears came out of the woods to take care of these kids, right? How many of you know that story, right? Gary, I'm praying for you. The bears don't get you this afternoon, brother. I know you're not a little kid, but making fun of the preacher is not a good thing, all right? And so I'm praying for the Lord's protection, hedge around you. In that regard, open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. And we're going to talk about something today that seems to be a little bit different than normal. But the title and topic of the message today is Let Us Rest. And I find that in our culture today, we are constantly on the go. There's always a phone call to make, an email to answer. There's a to-do list that never ends. And so in that specific pace that we try to keep, because that's what we think that we need to do in order to be successful or to be productive, what we do is we find ourselves drifting away from God. We find ourselves becoming emotionally unwound and careless, and in many ways not living as productive as we could be and should be, ultimately because we do not follow the principle of rest that God gives us from the Word of God. And it's one of those things that it's like, oh man, this is actually in the Bible. Absolutely, it is. And so I want us to read this morning in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my wrath or my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. And again he points a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. And then he says in verse number 11, and this will be our focus today, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, God invites us into three spaces that increase our faith. He says to let us hold fast the confession of our faith. He says, let us enter boldly into the throne of grace. And in the first 11 verses, he builds a case for us to enter into a space of rest. He says, let us enter that place of rest. Now, these are all spaces that are necessary, and they will strengthen our resolve to follow God and to be obedient to him and ultimately have a foundation of faith that is unshakable. And it's amazing that the God of this universe, it's amazing to think about this, that the God of this universe would be so gracious and so generous to invite us into his presence and to encourage us to rest, specifically when we find ourselves at a low point. Specifically when we find ourselves in need of rest, specifically when we find ourselves so weak. And today in our text, we see God inviting you and me into a place of rest. And in verse 11, he says, let us strive to enter that rest. So I want to take some time today to unpack some of the thoughts in this passage that could be and ultimately should be refreshing, if you will, to your soul. So many of us today struggle with worry. We struggle with fear, anxiety, and even restlessness. Maybe you're like me, and you feel like you never get everything done. How many of you know what I mean? Say amen. It just feels like there's always one more thing to do, right? God has a word for you and me today that should encourage us to walk with him and trust him as we walk through this life that is certainly busy and certainly uncertain. Those are two things that are very true. And it may seem strange to consider that God is inviting us into rest. It might seem strange to consider that. I remember being going to Bible college 20-some years ago here in Springfield on the north side of town in Kearney Street, And by the way, Northside has better Chinese. I just want to own that today. Just own that. They have the best Chinese in town. But I remember being in Bible college and sitting in chapel, and even in my first ministry position that I was in, and I would hear pastors that would come to the church and they would say things like this: "Hey man, we're gonna work for God until we die. There's no retirement. And one day when we get to heaven, we'll then have our rest." And I remember hearing that kind of teaching, and I remember hearing that kind of preaching, and it preaches well, right? It gets people really fired up, and it's like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna charge hell with a water pistol. But then I also, in 20-some years of ministry, seen a lot of people burn out. I've seen a lot of people just walk away from their faith because there's no reprieve, there's no rest, there's no actually getting to know God and his compassion and his kindness and leaning on him and drawing, listen to this, from his strength. And it's ultimately what rest comes down to. It's this idea of us coming away, pulling away from life, from responsibilities that we have, so that we can ultimately, really, genuinely rest in and trust God with all of our life. So many of us do not want to do that. And so the big idea today is this: rest is an invitation necessary for God's people to continue in the faith. And what we find is that God modeled rest for us when he rested on the seventh day of creation. Yes, the God, the omnipotent creator of the universe, took a day and modeled, not because he needed it, but because we needed it, and he modeled to us, and it's in the text, and we see it in Genesis chapter 1, that God took time away to rest so that we could see this. Jesus often pulled away to be alone and pray. One time, and this is brought up in our Sunday school class today, one time while the disciples were in the midst of a storm, Jesus was in the boat. You know what Jesus is doing? Taking a nap. So here it is, Jesus in the midst of a storm, resting and taking a nap. In the Old Testament, he commanded a day of Sabbath for the children of Israel to rest. And it's likely that many of us have neglected the power and the promise of this truth. And while we do not take a Sabbath in the way that they did in the Old Testament, God still commands us and gives us the principle of Sabbath, and he gives us the principle of rest to take that so that we can continue on in the faith and so that we can be productive in this life. And so God calls his people to a time of rest, rejuvenation, and he calls us to a place of worship. And rest is a powerful principle in the life of God's people. So what do we mean? What do we mean when we talk about rest? Rest can mean to lie down. It can mean to be settled or fixed or secure. It involves remaining confident. It means keeping trust. In other words, to rest in something or someone means to maintain our confidence in them or in that thing. And that's what we're doing when we rest. It means that we have an unshakable confidence in the salvation of the Lord. We have no reason to fear because we have absolute confidence in God's plan and God's care, even though we take a moment to rest. Rest means that we lean on. To enter into God's rest means that for the remainder of our lives and for all eternity, we lean on and we trust in God. Because of unbelief, Israel never enjoyed this kind of rest. They never did. In fact, the text is very clear that they were disobedient and they didn't experience the blessing of this promise and this principle in their life. So not trusting in God, and you may write this down today, not trusting in God, and the text says this today, not trusting in God is something to be feared. See, when you lose your trust in God, you lose your rest. Apart from God, man is not only sinful, but he's restless. When we step into this invitation, we will find the rest that we need to continue on. And so what we see in this text today, I want you to see three callings, if you will, out of this text. And the first calling is this, and it's found in verses 1 through 8, and we are called to rest spiritually as God's people. We're called to rest spiritually. The writer is referring to the exodus of Israel in Egypt. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. Some have speculated. It doesn't matter either way. This is still the word of God, and we know that to be true. And so the writer is writing, and he's giving us a picture of what Israel did and did not do in terms of this specific principle. In the scriptures, this is a reference. When the people of Israel, and that narrative is given to us, it's a picture of the bondage and the slavery that the children of Israel experienced while they were in Egypt. That now is a picture of you and me and the bondage that we feel and that we experience from our sin. When we step outside of God's directives, when we step outside of God's design, we experience more bondage. We experience more slavery. And so the writer is trying to prevent us from falling into the same situation that the children of Israel did. For the wilderness generation, rest was more than just a theological metaphor. It represented an end to wandering that characterized their life after Exodus. It meant finding peace. It meant finding comfort. This pictures our own personal wandering. I think many of us, we wander through life. We go from one thing to the next, 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 and we have very little purpose, if you will, in our life. And you've heard me say this over and over again, before we are anything, we're followers of Jesus Christ. Before I am a pastor, before I'm a dad, before I'm a husband, before I'm a friend, the ultimate calling on my life is to follow Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate calling for every single one of us in this room. So God sent Moses to free them from their slavery and their captors. And this is a picture to us that God sent Jesus to set us free from the bondage of our sin. In verse 1, we see that we have the promise of rest and wholeness with God personally. In verse 1, he says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." In verse 2, we see that faith entails believing in the promises of God. People not trusting God's promises are excluded from those benefits that God offers to each of us. So when we choose not to rest, when we choose not to trust in God, we fail to benefit from the joy and the actual productivity of following God and being in a relationship with Him. So again, we see this idea of, hey, listen, slow down. Enter the rest. Lean into God. Trust in God. And you will find the rest your soul needs to continue on. God offers spiritual rest to those who follow Him. And the rest He offers is freedom from sin. It's a rest from the work of earning your salvation. Spiritual rest means to be free from the guilt of unnecessarily feelings of guilt. It's freedom from worry about sin because it is forgiven. How many of you do that? How many of you still worry about your sin? I know I do. When you continue to fail or mess up or make mistakes or come up short, or I've just been thinking lately about my own kids and even things in my marriage where I'm like, man, I just came up short there and I wish I could have a do-over on that. And it causes a restlessness in our soul, and oftentimes that restlessness leads to feeling guilt and shame, and often guilt and shame leads to more guilt, which then leads to more bad behavior. But when our rest is found spiritually in God, we do not have to worry about our sin because it has been forgiven by God Himself. Amen? So we find rest. His rest is the end of legalistic works and the experience of peace and the total forgiveness of God. For every one of us this morning, whether you know Christ or not, God freely offers to you and me through Jesus a life of peace with God and rest from the effects of sin. So instead of working for grace, God offers you grace. One writer said it this way. He said, "May your rest be in God, and may you be in the rest of God." We find rest in God, and then we find our rest in God. In verse 7, we see in the passage of Scripture, and he's drawing from Psalm 95, the author announces a new opportunity to respond obediently to God's voice. Maybe God is calling you to a season of rest. Maybe this morning God is calling you and me to follow Him in a new way or in a different way. Or maybe you're here today and you've never put your trust in Christ at all. And you're running from your sin, and you're running from your past, and you're running from shame, and you feel like there is no hope, you feel like there is no end, and this morning, rest is found in knowing that you're forgiven of your sins. We find rest there. When you find your rest in Jesus, you can stop running from and being weary from sin, because today is the day that you find the rest that you're looking for. But then we see in verses 9 and 10 that we're not just called to rest spiritually, but we see very specifically and very clearly in verses 9 and 10 that we're called to rest physically. As believers, we're called to rest in this way. The rest that God offers to us extends from the spiritual to the physical. It's not a one-dimensional rest, if you will. Rest is not an obligation, it's an invitation. And God is inviting us into a place to trust Him and worship Him. We're to rest in His presence and His promises. We tend to think, now I don't know if you're this way, but many of us do this. Many of us tend to think that if we don't give 100% of every minute of every day, we're not deserving of our role, whatever the role. It could be a mom, and some of these Pinterest moms need to take a break. You know what I mean? Like some of these moms that get online, and I don't have young kids anymore, so it doesn't affect me, right? But I remember when we were raising our kids, you have these moms that are homeschooling their kids, and if you do that, great, that's awesome. But these moms that are homeschooling their kids, they've got a side hustle, and then they find the time to make bread homemade from scratch, right? And I'm like, bro, I'm going to Aldi, right? You know what I mean? I don't have time for all that, right? And so what we do is we compare our life to someone else's life, and we pretend like, oh, I need to be that way if I'm going to be successful. And so I've got to go nose to the grind and wear myself out so that I'm not good for anyone else, much less my relationship with God or my kids or my family or the ones that I'm called to disciple. And so I just wear myself thin so I have nothing left for anyone else. One writer said this. He says, we tend to think that if we don't return every email and every phone call this minute, that if we don't make every meeting, that if we don't respond to every request, that if we don't apply ourselves fully at all points throughout a given day, we think this, the universe will fall apart. And many of us live that way, nose to the grind, stressed out. And what we do is we tend, after a long work week, to rest by binging on other things. Things other than God. And there's a major difference between amusement and rest. And God is offering us rest, and God is always better. Brady Boyd, in his book, Addicted to Busy, says, ultimately, every problem I see in every person I know is a problem of moving too fast for far too long in too many aspects of life. To enter into God's rest means to be at peace with God, to possess the perfect peace He gives. You know what that means? It can mean taking a nap, man. This afternoon, you know what the application of the message is? Take a nap. Amen? Don't disobey that one. That's not a hard one. But for some of you, you're not nappers, you know? And that's okay. Take a hike, Gary. Off a short cliff, right? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He gave me a hard time all day yesterday. Take a nap. Take a hike. If rest for you is cooking a meal, that would stress me out. I had a doctor friend who was a cardiologist that I live with in Chicago, and he would get stressed out because he's dealing with life and death issues every day of his life. He's dealing with people's hearts. Mike Lamonto, he was a friend of mine, and Mike would have me over, and he would cook these amazing meals, and he would get all into it and explain to me all the spices and all the things, and it energized him, you know what I mean? And there's something that you can do. Maybe it's doing a puzzle, maybe it's Sudoku. I don't know what it is for you to rest. It's not necessarily amusement, but it might be going on a hike and slowing it down, so that you can enjoy the good blessings of God in your life. And trust me, when you do that, the world will not fall apart. You know, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden was light." Now, the Pharisees were always trying to get people to follow the rules and do more stuff. That was the job of the Pharisees. And Jesus was inviting people to say, look, just follow me, man. Just follow me. Enjoy me. In the Heidelberg Catechism, it says, what is the chief end of man? And it's to glorify God by doing what? Enjoying Him forever. Many of us don't enjoy God because we feel like the moment we came to Christ, we signed up for a work visa, right? We signed up for a union job. Hey, listen, man, part of following the Lord is yes and amen. The moment you were saved, you were simultaneously called on the mission of God. But in that also, our periods of rest. It's building margin in your life so that you can continue to be productive to the people that matter most in your life. Let me give you four reasons real quick why you can trust God when you rest. Some of you are like, man, I can't take a day off. I can't take a nap. I can't go for a hike. I can't pull away in the middle of the day to do this, that, or the other. I've got way too much to do, and I've got a short time to do it. I cannot do this. Let me tell you four reasons why you can. Number one is because of passion. Do you know that God has promised to love you, and his love will never cease or fail? In Psalm 63:3, it says, because your steadfast love of the Lord is life. Listen, we measure success in terms of how the world measures success. You know what? The only thing that really matters in this life is whether or not you know and love Jesus, whether or not you follow him. At the end of your life, when you retire from your job, you're going to pack up your office and you're going to put it in a banker's box and they're going to give you a cake and you're going to walk out and that's that, right? But the thing that really matters the most is, did you know and love and follow Jesus? Were you faithful to him? Do your kids know that you love Jesus? Does your wife know? Does your husband know that you love Jesus? Because at the end of the day, in 1,000, 2,000, a millennia from now, the only thing that matters is, were you faithful and did you continue on? Second is providence. God is in complete control of my life and has all authority. Do you know that God holds your life in his hands? You can take a nap. You can go for a walk. You can go see a movie. You can do whatever it is that refreshes you and energizes you. And as long as you bring God into that moment and enjoy him in it, it can refresh your soul. Persistence. God has promised to be faithful. Do you know that when you're not faithful, God is faithful? I'm so thankful for this verse. I often feel like I fail God in so many ways, or I can't do enough, and there's always something else to do, another call to make, another passage to study, another hour I could give to this, or another hour that I can give to that. But the Bible says when we're faithless, God remains faithful. And then presence. God has promised to be present and near. The Bible says the Lord never sleeps. He watches over us while we're asleep. Isn't that amazing? I remember when we had Ellie, and those first few nights, I remember laying in our little condo in Chicago, 39 Choate. April brought our firstborn home, Ellie, and we put her in the bedroom next to us, and we had the little monitor, and she'd wake up crying in the middle of the night, and April would freak out, because as a first-time mom, you're like, oh gosh, is she okay? Is she gonna make it? I mean, they give you a child when you leave there, and you're like, I don't know what to do with this, right? They just hand you this baby. You're like, where did this come from, right? It's just weird, man. That first time around was so weird, and I remember her freaking out. And in the middle of the night, she called her sister and said, Rachel, I don't know what to do. And she said to her, April, God has got that baby in his hands, and he loves that baby more than you love that baby. And so often, man, we just want to control life. We want to control situations. We want to know the outcome. And I know this, God is present. God is passionate. He's persistent. And he's there with us every step of the way. And so we're invited to pause and know that God is God. Do you know that God is God? Do you know that? You can step away from some things from time to time and get clear objectivity. You can get rest. You can get rejuvenated. You can get the energy that you need to continue to do what God has called you to do. Brady Boyd said, in God's presence, it is God's presence that quiets our souls. It's God's presence that calms us down. When was the last time that you just pulled away? Jesus did this, man. Jesus pulled away. Jesus took time away from the crowds. He took time away from people. He took time away from healing and fulfilling his calling to spend time with the Father. And sometimes what we need is just to crawl up into his lap and know his love for us, to know his rest. And then I want you to see, lastly, this morning that we're called to rest eternally. In verse number 11, it says in the passage, he says, verse 11, he says, let us therefore strive to enter the rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. A future rest that believers enjoy with God, that's what he's talking about. So we rest spiritually. We find rest spiritually in knowing Jesus. We find rest spiritually in knowing that our sins are forgiven, and that's available to you and me and to every person in this room today. And some of you are sitting here today, and you're running from sin, running from the past, running from shame. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to be restless anymore about the person that you are, because God wants to forgive you those sins. God wants to transform your life. He wants you to rest physically. He doesn't want you to burn out. He doesn't want you to come to the end of yourself. And then he wants you to rest eternally. Man, you know, we live in a world of brokenness. Everything about our world is broken. Everything is broken. Sickness. I mean, I get weary as a pastor sometimes of the hurt and the pain that people have to experience because of the brokenness of our physical bodies. Some of you are battling cancer. Some of you have sickness. And just this week, we've had several. And, you know, Larry was at girls' camp serving the Lord. Broke his foot, you know. Had others that were in the hospital this week getting surgeries, and others that they don't even know what's going on. And then it's just, I was sharing with the older class today, as you get older, you have pains and aches that you don't even know why you ache and pain, right? And so, man, we have a rest. Do you know one day when we die, we're going to wake up more alive than we've ever been? Amen? No more pain. No more can't. No one ever telling anyone ever again, you've got cancer. No one ever coming to someone and saying, hey, they didn't make it. You know why? Because we'll have an eternal rest. I think it's sin, man. The reality of sin, and we're going to talk about this next week, about let us confess. Man, I know that I've hurt people in my life, people close to me, my family, my kids, my friends. And I long for the day when I never have an ill thought again. Man, I just long for the day to rest spiritually from sin. The way that we hurt each other, the way that we hurt ourselves, the way that we damage our lives because we sin. And one day there's coming a day when we'll never sin again. We'll never hurt the ones that we love. I think about death, man. I talked to my mom on the phone this week, and she's just not doing well. And she says to me, she goes, Jay, I love you. I'm proud of you. She's like, I'm 82. I don't know that I'm even going to see the girls graduate, but I just want you to know I love you and I'm proud of you. Those are hard conversations to have. We know the truth. We know there's a heaven to be gained, right? Amen? But that doesn't that weigh on us? The physicality of our existence, the myopic view of life that we often have, and we put all of our eggs in the basket here, and we wear ourselves out with this when there's something better that's coming. And so we burn the wick at both ends, spiritually and physically, not realizing there's an eternity to be gained. So God is rescuing us from sin. He's reconciling the world to himself. And one day, he's going to make all things new. All things are new by the power of his word. And when he does, we'll rest from the struggle of sin. We'll rest from the sickness we endure. We'll rest from the death and the hurt that this life brings. And no matter how hopeless you feel this morning, no matter how broken you feel in terms of your spiritual life and the sin in your life, or because of your physical life, I want you to know this morning that there's a better life to come that's made possible through by God through his son Jesus. And what a day that will be, amen? We used to sing that old hymn, and Derek, don't get mad at me, but we used to sing that song, what a day that will be when Jesus I shall see, right, amen? I'm not going to sing it because that would be horrible. What a day that'll be when Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who what? Saved me by his grace. Oh, what a day that'll be. God's inviting you and me to rest in his character. So I want to ask you this morning, what steps do you need to take this week in order to make this a reality for you and your family? What kind of margin do you legitimately need to bring into your life so that you can find rest? What do you need to do? What do you need to cut out? What do you need to say no to? I heard someone say years ago, it was about 15 years ago, I heard a guy say, it's easy to say no when there's a greater yes burning on the inside. It's easy to say no to things. I can say no to a lot of things. You know why? Because my kids matter to me more than a lot of things. I can say no to a lot of things because my wife matters more to me. There's a lot of things that I can say no to because my time with God matters to me more. Some people are like, hey, can I meet with you at this time? No, I got an appointment with the Lord. No, I got an appointment with my kids. No, I'm going to spend some time with my wife. And that is my appointment. I'm building margin in my life to build into those things. And I just wonder, what things do you need to say no to this week in order to build the kind of margin into your life where you find rest in God? Go out and ask 10 people this week. Just do this for me. Go out this week and ask 10 people, how you doing? I guarantee almost 10 out of 10 are going to be busy. Just busy. And it doesn't even matter. Even retired people say that. And I don't even know what they're busy with, right? They're just going to Walmart and consignment shops and cutting grass and doing, I don't know, busy. We're busy. Speed kills intimacy with God and with those that we've been called to love. Living at a breakneck pace will do more harm to the kingdom than living within the call of God. Many of us, myself included, we make unwise decisions, diminish productivity, have poor health, misplaced identity because of a failure to lean into the rest that God offers every single one of us. So consider how you can build some margin this week in your life to live, to laugh, to have fun, to be in the moment together as a family or with your friends or with your church. Enjoy God this week. Enjoy his gifts. Take time. Have a meal together. Enjoy it. And give God the glory for it. Are you tired and weary this morning? Have you been running from sin? And are you ready to lay it down this morning and rest in Christ's love? Are you weary from running from one thing to the next, trying to please everyone? And listen, not pleasing anyone? Because many of us do this. I'm here to tell you that there's hope. Augustine said it this way, I am restless till I find my rest in thee. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? How many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I found my rest in God. I know that I'm forgiven of my sins. I know that I'm right with God. I know that heaven is my home, and I can give testimony of that today. Would you lift your hand and let me see those today? I know that for a certainty. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I'm not certain that I'm a follower of Christ. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that if I were to die today that heaven is my home. Would you raise your hand and let me see that today and let me pray with you? Is there anyone that's like that that's here today? Amen. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I don't know what it really means to rest, and I don't have good rhythms in my life to observe the Sabbath or to take Sabbath time or to practice this principle in my life. And I do feel busy. I feel like I'm rolling out at a breakneck pace. And I know that this is not sustainable. I find myself being anxious and angry and frustrated and wore out all the time. And this is a principle that I need to consider in my life. Would you just raise your hand and let me pray over you this morning? Amen. 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 Hands all over the room. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand to your feet this morning? Father in heaven, I just want to say thank you, God, for loving us. I think of the passage in the Old Testament Psalms that says, what is man that you're mindful of him? That you would even be concerned about our health, physically, spiritually, and otherwise. That you would even invite us to slow down, be intimate with you, to enjoy you, to give you the glory and the praise for things of our life. Help us, Lord, to be a people that understand this principle so that we can draw into your power, into your presence, and know your love. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.